Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Stand by Stephen King starts like this. This is the story. So there's a soldier at a secret army base, right? And at that secret army base, there's a super flu that is in containment there, but it breaks containment. Okay, so the soldier sees that everyone is getting infected and he decides to make a run for it. He decides to leave that secret army base and he takes his wife and his kids and flees as fast and as far as he can in his car, and he drives thinking that he has escaped it. Well, that's not quite true. You see, he had contracted it while he was there, and while he's driving that car, he gets these symptoms, and then finally he crashes that car, and he crashes it into a small town gas station. Now, that small town, they go and they try to look and see what this guy is about, and they get infected. This whole town gets infected with this super flu, and the government comes in and quarantines them so that they don't spread to other people. Everyone starts dying in that town, except for one man named Stu. And they take notice, Stu, and they quarantine him away from the other people. And they start asking him questions like, "Stu, where are you from? What have you been up to, Stu? Why aren't you being infected? Why aren't you dying right now?" And Stu, pained and angry, he doesn't answer them. He says, "No, I'm not going to answer that. Tell me why I'm here. Give me some answers to this situation." And then he waits for his time to act. And then finally, at the breaking point, I stopped reading. I confess, I stopped reading. It's a really long book. So, from my perspective, I got to go and read other things. I got to go do other things. It didn't hurt me at all. From Stu's perspective, though, he was trapped in forever quarantine. He was without any answers, without any cure, without any hope. I left that America to die from the super flu. That's not a good thing. Now, my point is this when I tell you that. That middle where Stu is, where America is there, that middle, when I stopped reading, makes a terrible ending. So, we'll turn to Job. We see chapter 12, verse 13, "To God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. To him belong strength and victory. Both deceived and deceiver are his." Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like a great ending. To God belongs wisdom and power. It sounds a lot like Revelation chapter 7. Do you remember it? It says, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." It sounds a lot like Psalm 107. "Whoever will heed these words of the wise and consider the great love of the Lord." But it isn't. Instead, it's Job saying something oddly akin to the great theophanies, to the great angels' hymns, to the psalmist's praise. But it isn't. Instead of the very angels who see that throne of God falling on their faces in praise to God, instead of that, we're sitting in the middle with Job scratching himself with a piece of pottery. You see, this passage would be doxological, except for the hollowed out cynicism that we find behind those words. For Job, as he sits in the middle of his pain, it is not wonderful, it is not glorious that to God belong power and wisdom. It's frightening. You see, when God has counsel and wisdom and strength and victory, it's because he strips the wise, the counselor, the strong, the victorious. He strips them away from Job. So Job takes that message of God's great wisdom and turns it into a jaded, cynical retort. For all its glory, the message of God's wisdom, of the covenantal love, of the article of justification by grace through faith, tastes like ash in Job's mouth. I want to say it again. The middle makes a terrible ending. So as we sit now in this place of potentials, we learn rich words. We take part in glorious fellowship. There is a wonder and an awe in the sacraments we learn of and take part in. But this is no end. This is a place where we live so that we can be sent out. This is a place where we create life together so that we can leave life together. This is no ending. This finish line is just the next starting line. We live in the middle of our story, and we sit. In the middle of our story, we get jaded. You lose sight of the beginning, and you cannot yet see the end. Those glorious words lose their taste. We bleed them of their richness, making strong words into hollow, cynical retorts. The Bible becomes a textbook. The sermons sound the same. Our brothers become our rivals, and the very process and the people that should push us forward only seem to hold us back. We see this middle as our only end. We wait in the quarantine with Stew. We sit in the dust with Job. And expect that this is the end of our story, because it just doesn't get going. But there is wisdom and strength for a Job without hope, because the God who started the story breaks into the middle of this story. The God who is in the middle of the story brings that story to its end. The God who enlarges a nation disperses it, until Israel is reduced just to one, and even that Christ is destroyed. But even in Christ's defeat, victory belongs to God, because God places Christ into the middle of this story so that he can bring us to the end. So, when your words turn stale, when your gospel feels old, when your love grows cold, God, at that moment, in that middle, breaks in through his word, breaks in through his gifts, breaks in through your brothers to show what wisdom and power and victory is, to fill our hollow words, bled of their richness, with renewed love and grace, to make our enemies into brothers, and our rivals into brothers, and our brothers into brothers, to show us in the middle of our story where that story ends. Now, that's downright doxological, if you ask me. Right? That God sends us out with the end of the story in hand, to sit in the middle where those are suffering with them, to sit in the middle where those people are and show them the end of the story, to what we will be, to what God makes us, to tell them the middle is a terrible ending. The ending is a good ending. So, God finishes what he starts. God raises what was dead. He fills what was hollow. And chapter after chapter, finally, we reach to the end, where, as those angels sing in Revelation, you remember that? Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for our song.